I'd like you to turn with me this evening to the Gospel of Matthew. Turning to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. And as you turn to that portion of Scripture, I'd like to thank the Reverend Patterson. If he regards me as his friend, the feeling is mutual. He is a good friend, and he mentioned there the week that he preached for us in Port Hope a few years ago. The fruit of that week of meetings is still seen today. It's a tremendous week. We have had quite a number of those weeks of meetings marking our church anniversaries. But certainly that week lives on. It was a tremendous week of tremendous preaching and setting forth the truth of God's Word. So it's good to be here, and I thank Reverend Patterson for his invitation to come during our short stay here in Ulster. And I do bring you greetings from our church in Port Hope. You know the story there of Joseph Scriven's hymn, written by an Ulster man who came to live in Port Hope. So we're following in his footsteps, certainly nothing to do with him writing, but we're an Ulster man there in Port Hope. As I say, I do bring you greetings with a small work and witness in Port Hope. We have had a serious winter. The snow has been unbelievable over the month of February, and last Saturday we had freezing rain during the night, then rain, the temperature went up, and when we went to church last Sabbath morning, the basement was flooded. We were not able to have a morning worship service. We had to spend the time, all of us, all hands on deck, as it were, went down to the basement and tried to get things tidied up and cleaned up and dried up. We were able to have an evening service, thankfully. And then Wednesday of this week, I got a text from our son Aaron. It was a short text. He said, "Can you speak? Or can you talk?" I thought, what's coming now? So I contacted him. He said, "The basement's flooded again, only worse this time." So you might remember that matter. In prayer, we have certainly a few things to do now in the summertime when the ground gets a bit softer. And we have a few things to attend to try and prevent that ever happening again. But I do thank you for your prayers, for the work and the witness there in Port Hope. If you don't know where it is, just you find on the map of Canada, Toronto, and look slightly to the right, and you'll find a little dot there on the map, and it'll read Port Hope. So if you're ever out that way and get to Toronto, it's only 60 miles, an hour's drive along the highway there. We've had our encouragement. We've had two new families come to us in the past 12 months, and we've been praying for six new families. Well, now we can pray for four, and the Lord is able to give us much more than this. Glad to have my brother Stephen and wife Cynthia here tonight, and be able to see my other brother Brian, who lives, as you know, here as well. So I do thank you for coming tonight, and those who come from Banbridge as well. We appreciate that. Turning to Matthew chapter 27. We'll begin our reading at verse 15. It's a well-known and very familiar portion of Scripture. Verse 15. Now, at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, "Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ. For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Referring to Christ, of course. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water, washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be upon us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Amen. We'll end our reading at verse 26. Praying the Lord tonight will speak to us from this word and use it to his glory and honor this evening. Before we consider God's word for us this evening, let us just briefly unite our hearts once again in prayer. Let us all pray. And as everyone is bowed in prayer, will you pray? Fill the preacher with the Holy Ghost. Will you pray that the Holy Spirit will be working here tonight? This will not be just an ordinary meeting. But as someone prayed in the prayer meeting earlier, it'll be the spirit of revival tonight. O Lord our God and eternal Father, we bow in thy holy presence this evening hour. For we are in the presence of the Lord God Jehovah, the great I Am. We come before thee, the thrice holy God, the one when seraphim and cherubim are in his immediate presence, veil their faces and cry, Holy, holy, holy. O Lord God, tonight as we come before thee, the thrice holy God, we pray, Lord, that men and women tonight who know not the Savior will see their sin in the light of the holiness of God. And tonight, Lord, they'll seek a cleansing from their sin in the precious blood of Christ. Lord, bless this church as thou hast done in the past. Bless the ministry of thy servant. We thank thee for him, for his friendship in the gospel from the first day until now. Bless his wife and the congregation. Now, Lord, I ask thee that thou would grant unto me the power of the Holy Spirit of God, that, Lord, I might be enabled to preach the word, And in preaching the word, we will preach Christ. We will always preach Christ. Make much of his blood and of his finished work. We do ask all these things in the Lord's name, giving to him all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory, because he alone is worthy. Amen. Matthew chapter 27, and our text for this evening, again, is a well-known text. It's the verse 22. Pilate saith unto them, "What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ?" They all say unto him, "Let him be crucified." The crucifixion of Jesus Christ was the crowning sin of our race. For in that barbaric act has found all the sins of mankind united in foul conspiracy. Hate is there. Revenge is there. Blasphemy is there. Cruelty is there. Murder is there. All the evils of human hearts of all ages were concentrated around the cross that day. Just as all the rivers run into the seas and all the thunder clouds empty themselves upon the earth, so did all the crimes of man gather to the slaying of the Son of God at that place called Calvary. Again, as the vultures hasten to the body, so all the sins of men hasten to the cross to make Christ their victim, their prey. That awful death upon the cross was now only a few dark steps away for the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Lord there stood before Pilate, the governor. Soon, the torch-bearing mob would take hold of the prisoner in the garden. Soon, the bulls of Bashan would compass him about. Soon, he who was the song of angels would soon become the song of the drunkard. Soon, across that hill, lone and gray, would be heard the dull blow of a hammer swung low as they nail my Savior to the tree. Soon the blood would flow. Soon the agony would begin, and soon the heavens would mourn. But before those things would take place, Pilate had a question to answer. The question of all questions. The question, the answer to which would decide Pilate's eternity. What must I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? And there you have it. The question of questions. The inescapable question. A question Pilate had to answer. And I'll tell you something. A question you will answer tonight. Before you go out through the doors of this meeting house, you will answer the question. You will. You may not answer it out loud. We may not hear it. But you'll answer it. What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Whether you will be in heaven or hell depends on how you answer this question. Whether it will be eternal night or eternal day for you depends on how you answer this question. Whether you will suffer the eternal consequences of your sin or enjoy the eternal joys of salvation in glory depends on how you answer this question, what you will do with Jesus tonight, this St. Patrick's Day evening. It'll be written down in eternity. What you do with the Lord Jesus Christ this night, the 17th of March, 2019, what you have done with Jesus, which is called Christ. So I would appeal to you. I would appeal to you now. Make the right decision. Make the right choice and make sure you get it right regarding this question. Your eternity depends upon it. So Pilate had this question. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Here was Pilate and his great dilemma. The governor was caught on that day upon the horns of a dilemma. And what we immediately notice about this question is, and this dilemma, is that it was personal. It was a personal dilemma. Notice what Pilate said. What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Here was a decision which he must make, and nobody could make it for him. He had, of course, tried to leave the decision to somebody else because he had sent Christ to Herod. He wanted Herod to make the decision, but no, Herod just returned the Lord to Pilate, and there the Savior stood. He's back again, and there he stands before Pilate. And Pilate says, what shall I do? It was his responsibility to give the answer. It was his reply that was awaited. Pilate, what are you going to do? What are you going to do with this Jesus, this man who stands before you with bloodied back? This man whose brow will soon be crowned with thorns? This man who will soon be draped in a purple robe? This man who will soon be stripped naked and put to an open shame? Pilate, what are you going to do with him? What will your decision be? We've addressed Pilate, now I'll address you. The same Jesus stands before you tonight. There he stands before you by way of this gospel message. This stranger of Galilee is in this meeting and he stands before you. Now let me ask you. Maybe you don't want to ask the question yourself. Well, I'll ask it for you. What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? I've asked the question for you. So what's your answer? What shall I do with Jesus? Jesus, Savior, which is called Christ, anointed. He's the anointed Savior. He's the only Savior of men. Only Savior of men. I present him to you tonight in the gospel. I say to you tonight, my unsaved friend, hear, receive him. He'll save your soul. He'll take away your sin. He'll pardon your iniquities. He'll take you to heaven. He'll save you from hell. Praise the Lord. That's what he'll do. Now, what are you going to do with him? What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? It's a personal dilemma for Pilate, and so for you. Nobody can decide for you. It was also a pressing dilemma. You see, the elders and the Pharisees and the scribes and the mob were all present, pressing Pilate for an answer. He couldn't afford to wait. As far as the crowd was concerned, Pilate had already waited too long. Pilate couldn't wait for a more convenient season. They wanted an answer there and then. You know, it's the same with you. There is no convenient season when it comes to salvation. No, there's not. Listen, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Not next week. It's now. Right now is the accepted time. Right now is the appointed time. You think of it. I believe in a sovereign God. I believe that he works and organs all things out to the glory and honor of his name. I believe in his providence. And according to God's providence, you're here tonight. God brought you here. You may have come at an invitation, but God brought you here. You're here tonight with an appointment with God. Set up by God himself. And here God, through his word, presents to you this gospel message, this opportunity to be saved from your sin, this opportunity to go to heaven, this opportunity to be saved from hell. He has set up the appointment. It's between you and God. Now, what are you going to do? What shall I do then with Jesus? It's your chance. You may say, well, maybe come back to church next week. Will you be here next week? Will you be alive next week? Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Pressing dilemma. Pilate had to decide, and so must you. Personal and pressing, it was a particular dilemma. The man who was standing before Pilate was no ordinary prisoner. No, this was the King of the Jews. This was the Son of God. This was the Messiah. This was the miracle worker of Galilee. That's who stood before Pilate. And what the governor would do would have consequences. Consequences. Pilate didn't realize it, but that humble, humiliated, and hated individual standing before Pilate, clothed in shepherd's garments. Pilate would see him again. Pilate would undoubtedly see him again when he would be summoned to the great white throne in heaven. Only that this time it wouldn't be Christ standing before Pilate, it would be Pilate standing before Christ. Oh, Pilate would see him again, there sitting on the great white throne of judgment would be that same Jesus. Only this time, robed in garments wondrous fair, crowned with many crowns, with the host of heaven at his beck and call. Pilate would see him again, all right, and meet him on the great judgment day if he made the wrong decision. You make the wrong decision, you'll join Pilate. You'll stand beside the likes of Pilate. And I'll tell you what you'll hear. I'll tell you what the righteous judge will say to you. He will say, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." That's what you'll hear. "Depart from me," listen, "into everlasting fire." And while you're there, I'll tell you something. While you're there, you'll remember this meeting. You will. You'll remember the message. You'll remember the hymns that were sung. Because there is the place where the fire is not quenched, where the worm dieth not. The worm, what's the worm? It's the memory. Remember the rich man and Lazarus? Well, when the rich man was cast into hell, he remembered his brethren. He remembered them. I ask you tonight, what are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do? What are you going to do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Heaven is waiting. Heaven's waiting for your reply. The Lord is waiting. The angels are waiting. The great white throne is waiting. Christians here tonight are waiting. Preachers waiting. What are you going to do? What will your answer be? What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? That was his dilemma. Pilate and his grave decision next. Ah, you see, he reached a decision. Just like you will do tonight. I said it again. You'll reach a decision tonight. You will decide tonight what you're going to do with Christ. Oh, Pilate. What have you done? What have you done with Jesus? What have you done with your soul? What have you done with your eternity? Pilate, what did you do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Verse 26, then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus. Can you believe that? When he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. That's what he did. He reached his decision. It was a considered decision. This decision was not made on the spur of the moment. He had considered certain matters before he gave his verdict. He considered, first of all, the innocence of the prisoner. He considered that. No doubt Pilate had many a prisoner stand before him. But as I pointed out, this was no ordinary prisoner. This was the Son of God. And so he considered the innocence of this prisoner. Verse 24, he said he's a just person. Verse 4, 14 and 22, I find no fault in him. I find no fault in him. Yes, Pilate knew the Lord Jesus was innocent. He was convinced he was a just man. But still, he decided against him. He sent him away to be crucified. Pilate, how much greater will be your condemnation for sending an innocent man to be crucified, passing judgment upon him to be put to death like a common criminal. Pilate, your hell will be two hells. And you'll remember your decision for all and all and all eternity. To all here tonight, are you going to raise your hand against Christ? Why would you do that? What has he done against you? What crime has he committed against you? How has he harmed you? He's innocent. He's innocent, isn't he? So why would you raise your hand against him and say, no, away with him? I don't understand that. He considered the innocence of the prisoner. He considered also the interruption of his partner. For we read in verse 19, when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. She was pleading with her husband, whatever you do, don't decide against this man. He's a just man. Don't condemn him. Don't crucify him. Don't even chastise him. Have thou nothing to do with that just man? That brought a little nearer home, didn't it? Brought him right into his house. There was a word from his wife. In spite of what his wife said, we read, he released Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, sent him to be crucified. Wife and I were in a home today. Not the dinner table. The lady, the host of the house, of the home, was telling us about trouble she has had. And her eyes filled up with tears. And she told us about her mother having passed away some time before. And whenever these troubles came upon her, of course, her mother had gone home to glory, but she says when the troubles came, she says, I could hear my mother say to me, it's all right, dear, it'll be all right. She could hear, as it were, her mother there. Even though the mother was in glory, it was as if the mother was beside her, saying to her, it's all right, dear. It's all right, the Lord will see you through. Mother was dead, but she could still, as it were, hear her mother's voice. You can understand that. Pilate's in a lost sinner's hell now, and he can still hear the voice of his wife. Have thou nothing to do with that just person, for I have suffered many things in a dream this day because of him. And Pilate can still remember his wife saying that. And every exhortation that you've been given to receive Jesus Christ, and you turn your back on those exhortations, and you turn your back on Christ, and you decide against Christ, you'll remember every word, every word that was spoken to you about getting saved. Boy, that'll torment you all right, wouldn't it? That'll torment you all right. But that loved one's with you today. And they've exhorted you to get saved. A wife, a husband, mother, or a father. And you know, and you can remember every word that mother, father, husband, wife, or whatever the relation, you can remember all the times I spoke to you. Son, would you not get saved? Son, would you not give your heart to the Lord? Daughter, my dear daughter, will you not come and receive my Savior? our husband, our wife. We're together now as husband and wife. I want you to be with me in eternity. You know all the times you've been spoken to. So let me ask you again, what will you do with Jesus, which is called Christ? You have to consider something else, the insistence of the people. No matter what Pilate said to the people, he always got the same reply. Let him be crucified. There were the chief priests, the elders, the multitude. They all said the same thing. So I suppose in the end, Pilate, taking everything into consideration, decided, I'll go with the crowd. Hadn't the guts to stand up and make the decision he knew he should make. Didn't he say, I find no fault in this man? He knew what he should do. So Pilate went with a crowd. Maybe that's what you've been thinking about when you've sat under the sound of the gospel. Yes, you would like to be saved, but what about the crowd? What about your mates at work? What about your drinking partners? How are you going to tell them you've become a Christian? So what are you going to do with Jesus, which is called Christ? It was a considered decision. It was a cruel decision. Acknowledging that the Lord Jesus was innocent and knowing what death by crucifixion involved, he decided against the Savior. He decided against them. Knowing that he was telling people, take ye him and crucify him. And because Pilate made that decision, Pilate had a part in Christ's death. Pilate had taken Christ and scourged him. Pilate might as well have fashioned the wood that formed the cross. Pilate might as well have held the hammer that drove in the nails. Pilate would have stood there with that crowd and mocked him. What did Pilate do? He crucified Christ. What are you going to do? Look at the Lord Jesus and what Pilate did to him. Look at what he did to him. Look at that lacerated back. Look at that thorn-crowned brow. Look at that marred visage. Look at the blood flow from those wounds. And I say to you, that's what he did. And you reject Christ tonight, and you might as well have that hammer in your hand. And those nails are stamped with your name. You reject Christ, you're guilty. You're guilty. As Pilate was. that was a closing decision. There was something very final about Pilate's decision. It closed all conversation between Christ and Pilate. That was the end of it. They'd conducted conversations back and forth, but that was the end. Whenever Pilate made the decision and said, "Take ye him and crucify him," that was it. It's all over. The decision was made. No more conversation. Never to hear the voice of the Lord Jesus again. Pilate would never hear the voice of Christ again until he would see him on the judgment day. Will you, by deciding against the Lord Jesus tonight, will you seal your hopeless doom tonight? Will this be it? And you'll never hear the voice of Christ again. Now, if that's the case, I'll tell you something. You might as well be already in hell. That's how sure you are of getting there. My spirit shall not always strive with man. In the last place, Pilate and his guaranteed doom. There was nothing more that could be done. He had finally rejected God's Son. He was doomed. His doom was guaranteed. You notice, first of all, the whip. He took the whip. Scourged Christ. Before, he was cautious, but now he's callous. He was worse now than ever he was before. You notice that? When he made the decision, it was as if his conscience had been seared by a hot iron. And he took the Son of God, he took an innocent man, he took a man that he said he found no fault in him, he took the whip in his hand, and he lashed him, and he lashed him, and he lashed him again, and opened that back into furrows of blood. I tell you something, you need to learn from this. Sinner, you need to learn from this. You reject the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, and your heart will have got a little harder against the Lord. It will. Sure, aren't there people in our churches that have said under the gospel for years? And they're still sitting. Unconverted, unsaved, my friend. You reject Christ tonight, and you will be twice the candidate for hell. You want me to tell you the truth, don't you? I could tell you a pack of lies here. Tell you you're all right, don't worry about it. And tell you the truth. I don't want you in the day of judgment to point your finger over at me and say, "You never told me." Because I'm telling you now. You need to repent tonight. You need to decide for Christ tonight. What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? There was the whip, and then there was the water. Verse 24, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to talk about a hypocrite." Not so fast, Mr. Governor. Not so fast, Pilate. It's not as easy as that of just washing your hands of the whole affair. Do you not know the consequences associated with your decision? Consequences that the water from a thousand oceans would never wash away. You sinned against the Lord Jesus Christ. You must answer for your decision on the day of judgment. Friend, there are consequences. And here we are now at the close of the meeting. The question's still the same as it was at the beginning. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? What are you going to do? You have a time to consider, just like Pilate. So what are you going to do? What shall I do then? You could say, what shall I do now with Jesus, which is called Christ? Make sure you get it right. Let's bow in prayer. What shall I do then? You can put your name in there. What shall I do? What am I going to do with Christ tonight? What am I going to do with him? Am I going to say away with him? Are you going to say, preacher, well, just keep your Christ? I'll go with a crowd. Meeting's over. Now, what are you going to do? Many people have prayed for you, prayed that you would get it right. Oh, may their prayers be answered this evening. Mothers have prayed. Fathers have prayed. Husbands, wives, sons, daughters. And even now, heaven's waiting. Heaven is waiting.
Our Father and our God, we thank thee for thy presence. We bless thee, Lord, for this passage that thou hast brought us into again tonight. This question that must be answered. What shall I then do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Lord, we pray in the closing seconds of this meeting, thou would give deciding grace to those yet in their sin. Many another night, they have made the decision. They've walked out rejecting the Christ of Calvary. Will not have this man to rule over me. But, oh God, we pray in mercy, thou would deal even tonight with such. And tonight, Lord, that thou would impress, Lord, upon that soul that behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is that accepted time. Strip away, Lord, every prop that they're leaning on. Lord, melt the hardest heart. Thou knowest, Lord, the prayers of a mother, a father, a son, daughter. Lord, I pray that Thou would cause those prayers to be answered tonight for Jesus' sake, for His glory. Mercy, we pray. Thank Thee for helping Thy servant. Speak on, Lord, when the preacher's voice is silent. Convict of sin. And convince men and women, young people, their need of Christ. I pray, Lord, that they would not decide for the crowd. But Lord, that they would make the right decision. They would get it right tonight. Hear this, our prayer. Part us with Thy blessing. And in Thy fear. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. And for God's eternal glory.